Rob Reichel. Rob, Happy New Year, my man.
Happy New Year to you, Billy. Happy New Year, boys.
Rob, we'll start out here as the interviews are in the midst for the Green Bay Packers. They're going to interview both guys in Foxborough tomorrow and then go down to New Orleans and interview some of the guys for the Saints. With the NFL rules, how many more interviews after this first wave would you expect?
It might be none. I mean, if somebody wows them and kind of takes their breath away and they're locked into a guy, you know, I guess you could see it done by early next week. I mean, the odds say this will probably extend guys another 10, 12 days, something like that, where maybe we're looking at the end of next week or early the following week, you know, before it's all said and done. But, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility either to think that, you know, by next Tuesday or Wednesday we could know who the new head coach is.
Boy, that'd be awfully quick for me. I'd be surprised.
It would be, but theoretically, I think, you know, if one of these candidates absolutely floors Gutekunst or Murphy along the way here, and they lock in on a guy, I mean, especially Spark, because you got to remember with eight openings right now, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of teams on the chase right now for really, you know, the same potential candidates, and if things get hot between a couple of teams for one guy, somebody might act a little quicker than we'd anticipate.
Who would you like to see, and who do you think is the favorite as far as the Packers front office goes?
Boy, I may have mentioned this on your show before. My favorite coach in the league by a mile is Mike Tomlin, and I know they've got all that drama in Pittsburgh. I didn't know how Pittsburgh's situation was going to wind up playing itself out this year with them missing the playoffs if they were going to move on from Tomlin. I thought he'd be a great guy to bring into Green Bay, but with the candidates that are available, obviously right now, Spark, you know, I know Vegas has Josh McDaniels as the favorite, and a lot of people are leaning that way, saying it's going to be Green Bay or New England because he won't take any interviews.
Well, the Bengals, with all due respect, the Bengals don't count.
Good line, Spark. They are one of the 32, though. They might beg to differ. I mean, obviously the Bengals have had their share of troubles, and they haven't won a playoff game in a million years. But, I mean, Josh, I'm not a huge Josh McDaniels guy, even though maybe he is the favorite at this point, Sparky. You have to remember, I think the biggest thing in this entire equation, much like back in 06 with McCarthy and Favre, who can come in, get Rodgers steered back in the right direction, make sure they take control of the football team and that it's not an Aaron Rodgers dominant football team moving forward, that he doesn't have control, you know, not just on the field, but off the field as well. I think that's vital. And I think that is one thing McDaniels has going for him right now. And obviously Belichick's had a huge part of that too, but McDaniels has had a hand in doing that through the years with Brady. Now, I think Brady's a different cat than Rodgers in terms of maybe the egomaniacal aspect and things like that. But I do think that is one positive on the McDaniels part. The thing that scares you, obviously, about McDaniels is the character issues that came into effect and into question last year when he left the Colts at the altar. And 3 weeks later, they're scrambling then for a head coach. And obviously, during his two-year stint in Denver, when he was caught videotaping the 49ers in a practice, those aren't exactly great. But Sparky wouldn't surprise me at all if he winds up being their guy.
What about the coaches from the Saints that they're sitting down with this weekend?
Yeah, again, you know, Campbell, Gary is a guy who, you know, he was a meat and potatoes guy as a 10-year vet in the league, as you guys know.
Right.
He doesn't have quite the track record or the calling card maybe that some of these other guys do. But again, you know, when Mike McCarthy got this job, 13, 14 years ago now, yep, in January of 06, so I guess 13, you know, they interviewed seven guys that year, Gary.
They did.
I think at the time, there's no way McCarthy probably going into those interviews ranked higher than four or five, especially, mm-hmm, you remember coming into those interviews, the 49ers had ranked 31st or 32nd in almost every major statistical category. That was Alex Smith's rookie year in San Francisco, and they were a mess. But McCarthy just kind of floored them along the way. I mean, maybe a guy like Campbell would do that as well, Gary. I mean, that's really the one unknown in this, and as they go around here over the course of the weekend and meet with LaFleur and even Flores out in New England on the deep offensive side and things like that. It's just, you know, who's going to absolutely blow him away and wow him in the interview? I remember talking, to Ron Wolf back with the Mike Sherman deal, and, you know, Sherman had an entire season's worth of practice plans put together, and that floored Ron Wolf, that Mike Sherman was so diligent and so organized going into his interview that he pretty much, you know, he said October 10th, this is what we're doing, and on November 9th, this is what we're doing, and Wolf just really liked that in terms of a lot of other things, too. So you never fully know what's going to happen inside these, but, I will say this, guys, I'm not overly wowed by the list of potential candidates this particular offseason. There's a lot of teams jostling now too for potential head coaches, and I am of the firm belief that Green Bay needed a change and needed a new voice in there. But there have certainly been different off seasons than other off season guys where at least the list of hot candidates and really highly qualified candidates certainly seem more impressive than this year's does.
Well, let me ask you this: does Green Bay still have that cachet around the NFL where coaches want to go coach in Green Bay and want to coach Aaron Rodgers that they may wait out just to get that interview with them?
Yeah, you know, Gary, I wrote that the other day at Forbes. You know, the good of this job is Aaron Rodgers and the bad of this job is Aaron Rodgers just based off the year he just had, the ego issues, the fact some people view him as a coach killer, the fact that he's not easy for anybody in the building really to work with. I think that is a real concern. But Gary, when you add up the entire, when you look at the entire equation and you say you've got arguably the most passionate fan base in the league, you'll travel 20, 30,000 people to a lot of these football games. On the football side of things, the players get largely everything they want. Their facilities, their amenities are as nice as anybody's in football. I think you've got a young, aggressive general manager. Now, he still has to prove himself that he can do this job over the long haul, but I think he has at least shown kind of the cojones to go out and do a few different things. He's going to be, he's going to have $60 million, give or take, guys, of salary cap money available to him, and that's before we even start to see, is he going to get Nick Perry off the books? Is he going to get Brian Bulaga off the books? Is he going to get Mason Crosby and Jimmy Graham off the books, guys like that? So the general manager is going to be armed with a pretty big wallet this offseason and the extra first-round draft pick. And if this new head coach, Gary, can get Aaron Rodgers playing back to the level that he did, even at the end of 2016 when Rodgers took these guys to the NFC Championship game in Atlanta, I don't think the rebuild, and I do think they're in the middle, guys, of a rebuild. I think that's a fair word. I don't think the rebuild has to take longer than 2020. But if you can't get Rodgers back, guys, we're probably looking at a 3-4 year period here before the Packers are really relevant again.
Rob, one final thing for you. Rob Reichel of BobMcGinnFootball.com and Forbes.com joining us on the Wendy's Big Show. Adam Gase has appeared to get interest from just about every single team with a vacancy except for the Packers. Do you have any reason to believe why that would be?
Yeah, I really don't, Tosh, at this point in time, because, other than maybe the fact it's the 23-25 record over the 3-year period in Miami, I do know he was unbelievably highly regarded a few years back when he got that job as an offensive mind and one of the brilliant young minds in the league. But, things certainly went different for him in Miami than they did for somebody, let's say, like Sean McVay in Los Angeles, who has quickly turned that thing around as the Rams in the top five in pretty much any statistical offensive category, where Miami was the flip side, and it really went poorly for him, especially the last year or so. But that would be my biggest guess, is just that he kind of tried and failed in Miami. But at the same point in time, then, Tosh, you could say the same thing when it comes to a guy like Josh McDaniels, who they're clearly hot on the trail of.
Rob, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll be talking to you a lot here as the Packers finally make this decision. Good stuff.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, guys.
There's Rob Reichel of BobMcGinn Football and Forbes.com joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, as all of our guests do here on The Fan. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans, those right here in our communities, since 1935.